text the guys questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.
All right, thank you all for being here. Start on a sad note, as you all have heard by now. Want to send my condolences to Dale Wolfley's family. You know, I heard about his passing late yesterday, and my first reaction was, "You sure?" Like, I mean, like you when you think of somebody, like when you think of somebody that's kind of has a personality that Wolf did, and kind of a bigger than life personality, you just don't think about those people passing, and so still probably in a little bit of shock there. No bigger supporter of West Virginia football than Dale Wolfley. And, you know, helped me a lot when I first got here, connecting with former players and really kind of got our 1891 club off the ground with Coleman and got some people back involved in the program that hadn't been involved in a long time. And he was the link. He was a link between a lot of the former players and the current team, and even guys before he played. He had built really good relationships with those guys, and then I think that through the years, he did a really good job of getting guys back here. You know, whether it was Josie Wiak's golf tournament or some alumni functions around our spring game, he was always the guy that really engaged former players and got them back around the program, and he'll be missed. And, you know, his son Stone played for us, so communicated with him earlier today. So just really feeling for that whole family. And so I know he always talked about the brotherhood of West Virginia football players, you know, former players, and I know that entire brotherhood is really hurting today. So just want to start with that. I promised you all I'd talk about our development guys during the, you know, kind of a semi-open week. These are the guys I think that really took advantage of it and start kind of with defense. Asani Redwood and Hammond Russell both played, but I think their future is really bright. And I thought both of them – we scrimmaged on Wednesday, we scrimmaged on Friday, and we scrimmaged on Saturday – and I thought that that those two guys really took advantage of those reps and kind of excited about their growth. And, you know, Sonny had major knee surgery in March. And so to come back, and he's played in every game since Pitt, man, that's really remarkable on that time frame. The other guys, DJ Oliver, really had a nice 3 days there. Really showed some signs on special teams. Think he'll be able to help us even this year on some special teams. Johnny Williams continues to grow and mature. You know, I forget sometimes because he's here in the spring that this is true freshman year. And I think he's got all the makings to be a really good one. Corey McIntyre is another one that's as he continues to change his body, you know, he made a bunch of plays in our scrimmages. And I thought Jordan and Josiah Jackson, both of those guys had nice open weeks. So those are some of the guys. I know I promised you on last Monday I'd talk about that. Kind of transition to our game on Thursday versus Houston. I think it's a great opportunity for our program. Play on Thursday night. Some of you guys know the milestone wins better than I do that this program has experienced in midweek games. A lot of significant wins. And we had two really good wins last year and played well, and the third one just didn't get it done at the end. I thought we used the open week probably differently than we've done in the past, just because of the physical nature of four out of the five games we've played. We really only practiced our guys Wednesday and then got into Houston prep on Friday. But our guys will be ready to go. They got some rest, recovery, and they'll be ready to go. I know a lot is going to be made about West Virginia playing Dana, and I do. I get it. And I think what doesn't get talked about, Dana did a good job here, you know, and I'm reminded because every day I drive into this parking lot, I see a picture of him and the Orange Bowl team. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, did a really good job. And so, but I think Dana and his staff, not just Dana, but his staff also, But the storyline, you know, Malachi Ruffin's really the only player that played under the previous staff. I think we got three guys that were recruited by the previous staff. And then, you know, they have four of our former players, you know, and I think I talked about this last week maybe, is Mike O and Tony Mathis did everything we asked them to do, made solid contributions. They graduated, did a good job on and off the field here. So I get, you know, and wish them the best, you know. And then Guzman wanted a different role. And then Sam's playing at an extremely high level. And, you know, we knew when we recruited him he was going to be a really talented player. And really I probably just didn't do a very good job handling him. The room that he came into probably didn't help him either. And sometimes change of scenery works, and it's worked for him. And so I'm happy for him. You know, I think he's one of the leading receivers in the Big 12. Hope he continues to have a great year, just not on Thursday night, you know. But not any ill will toward any of those guys. The game will have some emotions to it. We know that. We're preparing our guys for that. Just to talk about Houston here, special teams-wise, I think the first thing that really sticks out to you on their special teams, they're playing really, really hard. And they got a couple core guys. One of them is a guy that we recruited out, Willis kid. He's playing lights out on special teams. I mean, on he's a core player. Their kicker I know really well. He's from Dothan. Dothan's right down the road from Troy. We recruited him. He went to Troy. He was really good in high school. He went to Alabama. Now at Houston, he's doing a nice job. And their punter's really good. He's a guy that can move it around. He's Australian. The biggest threat on special teams to me is their kickoff return. Golden, who I'll talk about here in a second, they've already returned one. They returned one for a touchdown versus TCU. They've had a couple other big returns. Schematically, they do a nice job, but Golden's electric. And so it's going to be a huge challenge for us to get down and cover. And so if you look at them on offense, you know, I think they're balanced. Dana's got a long history of playing good offense. You know, to me, it all starts with the quarterback, Donovan Smith. He's from Texas Tech. He's won a lot of big games. If you look at it, going back when he was at Texas Tech, and really if you go back to 21 and to 22, he started multitude of games, played well. The thing that sticks out to me, you know, he's a coach's son, so he's really smart too. I mean, you can see that on his decision-making, but he's big. He's really big. He's a strong runner. They use him to run some, and he's got a big arm. And he's a guy that I think is really talented and can run and pass and hurt you in both of those. And then they're really talented skill. You know, I think at running back and receiver, as talented as anybody in our league. You know, talk about Sam and the Golden kid. Manjack's played really well. I mean, they go deep, and those guys can run, and they're vertical threats, and they'll take shots downfield with them. And it's going to be a huge challenge for us defensively. If you look at them defensively, they mix up the fronts. I think their D-line is very good. Their D-tackles remind me a lot of Texas Tech, and Texas Tech's guys have given us trouble in the past. They're big, maybe not as tall as some, but, man, they're big. You know, all of them are 300-plus. They're active with their hands. They do a really good job of playing their gaps and playing the run. And then at defensive end, they got two guys that can really rush the passer. The transfer from Oklahoma, played linebacker at Oklahoma. Now he's on the edge. And that's really been a good move for him. He'll have a chance to play in the NFL doing that. And the Caesar kid has been really productive. He's got great speed off the edge. And then they got two talented corners that can play man, and that's given us some issues. So, but a team that we've got a lot of respect for, I think they're dangerous. If you look at the first two halves of the Big 12 games, you know, they've played extremely well. And we know we're going to get their best. It's a group that's – their back's against the wall. And I know they're looking forward to it on Thursday night, and so are we. And so with that, I'll take questions.
For you guys.
So Wyatt will know. He'll kind of be a game time. Tomas will not play this week. You know, as far as how long he'll be out, I'm not sure yet. He'll be able to return, you know, but he won't play this week. And then Aubrey, I think, still questionable. And those would be the main ones. Anybody else?
How do you rotate?
Obviously, Trey's out. I said that the other day.
Obviously. Yeah. So, Ben, start with linebacker.
Yeah,
Ben starts, but who
So Ben Cutter will start, and he's earned that right opportunity, and he was playing a lot before. And I'm really excited about his growth. You know, we've got, you know, Lee's kind of the leader in that room, but we've got several young guys, you know, not just – we've got Ben, you know, Trotter sitting out due to injury. We got a couple in this recruiting class that's committed, you know, so I think the future of that position is really bright. Trey's going to return. He'll be full strength. You saw what he could do, you know, through the first five games, you know, him getting all the starts and playing a lot of reps. So I think the future of that position is bright. So I think you'll see Jai Favors. He'll go in and play. We've been using him a little bit in some dime package stuff, but he'll play some more on defense. Caden Beiser would be the next guy up too.
Hopefully Aubrey can go, but
yeah.
Safety.
So we've got some flexibility back there. Malachi has played and started games at safety. We can use Jacoby in some of our nickel packages. Jacoby Spells, he's played well. You know, he's played multiple series last three games. And then after that, we've kind of got Avery Wilcox would be the fourth safety if Aubrey didn't go, and then Josiah Jackson. That's why it was big for him. During the open week to get a lot of reps, and he showed some signs. I think he'll be ready if called upon. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's practiced. He practiced from Wednesday on. Open week really kind of occurred at a good place for both those quarterbacks because they were able to get off of it for a while. But he's ready to go.
When you started, there was a time when it looked like this game would be promoted as you against Neil and you against.
I don't know. I think if it happens sooner, you know, I think that the build up around it probably been bigger. You know, I think whenever Dana comes back here for the first time, that'll probably be a little bit bigger deal. You know, the time heals a lot of things. You know, it's been 5 years. I think it would be probably perceived different if we had a lot of guys that were here in 2018. We just don't. But I think that it's a good storyline. But, you know, I think from on our end, you know, that's why I kind of led with this. I think it's important, like, and I was telling may have been Monty the other day because we were just talking about, hey, this is going to be nationally, this will be a theme. You know, there's only a couple games on Thursday night. And I said, well, you know, I think our fan base needs to understand, you know, I pull in and I see his face, you know, they won the Orange Bowl and I think he won 10 games twice here and did a nice job. So there's no ill will for, I think, for anybody within this building going down there. Yeah, I think for us, to me, it's just about us continuing to get better. I mean, and I know that's like, that's coach speak, whatever, but we're on this winning streak, but we really haven't played a three-phase game where, you know, we've been handcuffed a little bit offensively. You know, I think this going into this week will be the first time that we feel like that we're, you know, depending on who plays on the O-line, but our skill guys, we're at the healthiest we've been from a skill perspective. You know, I think our quarterbacks are continuing to mature, so I think we're on the verge of playing some good offensive football, you know, and then the way I look at it is we're 2-0 in the conference. I think that's the most important thing. You know, we don't talk about 4-1 much. We just talk about 2-0. And the way I talk about it with our team is it's like you're in the NCAA basketball tournament, and every game survive in advance. And so for us, it's about getting better. And this happens to be our game, our Big 12 game this week. So let's figure out a way to get to 3-0.
There was a conversation he was talking with Ben and others defensively about trying to start quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that even more of an emphasis this week because this is a Dana offense because of what they're going to bring to the table?
You know, I think it's important. That's just something that, you know, I think when you go into the open week, you always look and say, okay, where can we get better? You know, and obviously we haven't started as quickly as we'd like to. We've been able to overcome some deficits, but you'd rather not have to overcome those. But I think that's just an emphasis program-wide. Regardless of who we're playing, we just got to do a better job of starting the game. You know, we've kind of been waiting to get our feet wet and then – you know, starting to play good defense. You know, we need to get started faster.
Houston's offense, how different is it from when Dana was here? Exact same when you?
Well, I would say, and that's probably a better question for him, but I would say quite a bit different, you know, than what they had with Will, just because Donovan Smith is more of a runner. You know, he can do both. You know, so there's some they're calling some cue run plays. They're doing some different things in the read game. A lot of the pass concepts are the same, though. I think that's fair.
Going back to the defense needing to start quicker, on the other side of that, is there any one thing you kind of attribute to the defense getting stronger as the game goes on, especially there in the second half?
I think that you kind of – so offenses in general, you see a lot of new stuff early on. You know, whether it's most teams script their – you know, their first 8 to 12 plays, something like that. And within that, there's some tendency breakers usually, and there's some new things that are new for that game or that opponent. And so I think once you figure out how somebody's going to play you or what's different or what schematically are they doing that you didn't see on tape, then you make some adjustments and you settle in. I think that's probably as big a factor as anything. Yeah.
TCU every year.
Yeah, well, there's some, you know, there's some familiarity there from an offensive standpoint, just, you know, just because, you know, coming from similar trees and things like that. So there's some similarities there. But I think that's fair. You know, I think when you get into a conference, especially where we've been, where you've been playing everybody, and so you, unless there's a coaching change or a coordinator change, you basically – you know, you go back and you look at your previous game or your previous couple contests or how was it like when you went and played there last, you know, what was, you know, as simple as what's a visiting locker room, where was a hotel, where, you know, you look at all your notes. And so, yeah, it's very similar to a non-conference game because you don't have that to fall back on, you know. So, and we've got three more of these. We've got Houston and then we've got all three of the newcomers coming up.
Hardest thing for those newcomers to adjust to when they move to a Power Five? Your thought?
Yeah, this is my thoughts. I haven't lived it. I've made this switch as a coach, but not as an entire program. I think the thing in this league that really sticks out to me is the week to week. You know, and this has turned into a really physical conference, and it's the week to week of it. And we're in a league where, you know, where you have a chance to win every game, but your opponent's also good enough to beat you every week. And, you know, whether some of the other leagues aren't like that, especially at the G5 level, you know, you've got some where you're just better than the other people, and maybe you can afford not to play at your best. And that's not the case in this league. You can look at some of the matchups early in the season. If you don't play, then, and especially on the road, if you don't play somewhere close to your best, then you're you know, regardless of your record, you have an opportunity to get beat. And so I think that the physical nature of it and just the week in, week out, playing really good people.
Your hidden yardage numbers are really good this year. I think TFLs, you've improved penalty yardage, punt returns. Does that impact how the other team prepares for you when you're good in those areas?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that what we've done is the thing that probably sticks out more than anything when you watch us is our coverage units have been pretty good, minus one big return that Texas Tech had versus us. So I think when other teams are watching us, that's the thing that sticks out. And then we've covered punts well. You know, as far as some of the other stuff, you know, we've been good at reducing. That's kind of been a goal over the last 3 years, is really reducing our TFLs and number of sacks given up. You know, we'll constantly get challenged. We get challenged this week on that because our D-line's really good. But, you know, when we went back and said, okay, what are some things we got to do better, you know, and kind of who we need to be successful in the future. Those were some of the things we talked about, is we got to reduce negative yardage plays. We got to reduce penalties. And then we got to have a plus. There's always a plus minus there, you know, your coverage units versus their coverage units. And we've been able to do that so far.
If you add them all up, I think you're about plus 50 a game, which is half the field.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's something you got to sustain. Right. But yeah, we've done so far so good. You know, I think the challenges in our league, it just continues to build in such a small margin for error, right? And we probably won the game on special teams, you know, and it's when whether you're Coach Coons or anybody that's helping him in special teams, you know, it's tough because a lot of things can go right, a lot of things can go wrong. You know, you look at the Oklahoma-Texas game, right? I mean, you talk about swings and some swinging momentum, swinging emotions. And so we are, you know, I think the fight is to make sure our guys understand the importance, which we spend a lot of time on, and making sure we maintain the attention to detail and doing those things that enable us to get those hidden yardage.
Last thing here on that. When you were a player, were you aware of Beamer ball and how they used that as kind of a theme to get an advantage? I mean, it was a way for them to...
Yeah, psychologically, too, because you went into... Anytime you played those guys, and I never played them as a player, but I watched, is you always worried about getting a kick blocked, you know? And you think about in punt protection, like, you know, that affects if you... That affects the snapper, that affects the punter, and there's a lot of things that go into it, not just – even if you don't block the kick, the perception is that you could block any of them. You know, that puts a lot of pressure on that unit.
You guys think that's where you're at? Is the Big 12 standing set?
The Big 12, not as much. You know, I've made a point to talk about the national rankings with our guys, you know, just because I think if, from a strength of schedule standpoint and who we've played and the fact that our only loss is – to a top five team at their place, you know, I think that, and we're still what in the 30s somewhere, you know. So I've pointed that out to them.
Before you, or even during the process of you maybe becoming the West Virginia head coach, going back 5 years ago, because you and Dana had some sort of connection prior. I'm not asking you to get into a personal conversation, but did you make a phone call to him, just ask him what it was like at West Virginia? Did you have any discussions with him about his tenure, just because coaches sometimes do that before they take a job?
No, I didn't really talk to Dana. I talked to a couple people that were on the staff, but I didn't talk to Dana.
You know, going back to the comment about Sam, it was kind of interesting about how, I forget what you said, like you could have handled it better, whatever, but that sentiment, it's such a different world that many years ago when you think about how you had to handle
it.
But do you have to be more case-specific?
Well, I think going back to it is to kind of elaborate on that, he was really he kind of came on his senior year, like had a good junior year, was really athletic, was a really good basketball player too, and so we're able to sign him, and he came in during that kind of COVID deal and where you couldn't have as much contact with guys, and that was a really hard time for that class, you know, like, you know, not just here at West Virginia but across the country, that class really didn't get to experience a summer, you know, where they kind of are able to get in the routine of being a college student. And so we weren't around them as much. And then, you know, if you think about it, we had a lot of transition during, you know, kind of his year and a half there in that room. And it wasn't a lot of different personalities, you know, some up and down performances. And that was a young group without much veteran kind of leadership in that room. And so, you know, when I look back at it, and I think you always, and I think I've talked about this in this setting before, is anytime you lose a player, especially a talented player, you always kind of look back and say, okay, what could I have done different, you know? And the thing with him is, you know, if he was in that room now, it's a different story. You know, just because we've got some veterans in there, they're we can play better in that room, but just the makeup is much better. And we would have done a better job kind of mentoring him and having him come along. But where we got to is, like, it was probably the best – at that time, it was the best decision for him and probably the best decision for us. But when he left, I remember telling our staff, I'm like, you know, that kid, he's got a special talent. And if he matures like I think he's capable of, then he's going to be a great player. And here we are, you know, a couple years later. And, you know, I can't speak on the maturity. I can just speak on watching him on film. And he's playing at a really high level right now.
Follow up on the developmental guys, a couple others. Mm-hmm. James Hurd, where's he? Some of your other offensive.
So James, unfortunately, had a death in the family. So he was able to go on Wednesday, but he missed Friday and Saturday. Okay. And he's gaining some weight. And so he had a nice he made a really nice play on in the scrimmage on Wednesday, but he had to go back home for a wake, so he missed Friday and Saturday.
Some of the other offensive linemen besides Johnny, and then defensive linemen guys.
Yeah, so
too.
Yeah, we had a little illness, so a couple of our young guys didn't get to go on Friday or Saturday, but it just talking, you know, Bryce Biggs is a kid that walked on here, and he's gotten steadily better. And didn't have his best day on Wednesday, but I thought he bounced back over the weekend and did a nice job. And then Landon Livingston is much improved. And then I think some of our younger tight ends are showing some signs, like TJ Johnson, Noah Braham. Those guys are doing some good things.
Five
games, when you study Houston, what do they do best?
Well, the thing that, you know, I'll answer this, John, is the things that when you turn on the tape and you're like, oh, is, you know, the receivers can really run. You know, that is a strength. They're explosive. The quarterback is, I go back to what I said. He's just a big, strong, and he's big and strong. He breaks tackles. I can think of numerous times just watching him at Tech and then also watching him at Houston when people have him wrapped up and he gets out, you know, and sometimes two people on him and he's strong enough to break tackles. And then the fact that he can make all throws, you know, he can run the right and throw it a long distance going back to the left, you know. And so that's when you turn him on and watch him offensively, those are the things that stick out. And then defensively, it's the defensive line. You know, and sometimes when teams make transitions and go from group of five to power five, they've got a really, really stout power five D line, and then Golden on kickoff return. That's scary.
You know, big plays for you, where you guys have talked about, like, play action's really good for shot plays.
Mm-hmm.
You guys run the ball so much and so well that you figure it'd be effective.
We haven't hit as many as we'd like. You know, we actually called quite a few against TCU. But we have, and you're correct. We have not hit as much. I didn't mean to cut you off. What was the rest of your question?
I'm just curious because, like, you are attempting them, so they're there. Yeah. Like you abandoned it. Is there – I was going to say, is that an apt – not critique, but observation? And then how do you get that right? Because you're not going to abandon it, right?
Yeah, so you hope – what you hope is – you know, sometimes hope's not the best strategy, but you keep calling them with the intention is law of average are going to work out. You know, and those plays aren't necessarily high-percentage plays anyway. But you need to hit, you know, our goal is hit 40. If we can hit 40% of those shot plays, man, then, you know, we feel good about it. But we're not close to that number yet. Only way I know about it, and that's what we – on Wednesday and Friday, we spent a lot of time on that. The only way I know about it is – the only way I know to get better at it is you continue to work on them. You know, I think a lot of times those happens, your protection breaks down. Our protection's been really good. We just missed some throws, and we haven't been in the right spot from a receiver standpoint or a tight end perspective. So you keep working them, and you got to keep calling them.
How important as a head coach is it to be able to, I guess, not be put into a box? Because I'm thinking your perception, because of where you came from, was an air raid guy.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to build this kind of offense where you just chew up clock and power run, how important is it, I guess, not even for yourself, to put yourself in the box?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an air raid guy, so we have to.
Well, I think the most important thing when you're the head coach is win football games. You know, and sometimes you got to put some of your own ego away, maybe. That's probably the best way to put it. Listen, I love throw the ball as much as anybody. I think if you go back and look at through the years, going back to 2008, you know, we've had a lot of success throwing the football. And so that's probably what my background is, first and foremost, is in a passing. And we got to get better throwing the football, okay? And for us to get where we want to go is our passing offense has to improve, and we believe it will. But the strength of our team right now is in our offensive line. And so, you know, the job is to win games. And so that's what we're doing. We're playing to our strengths right now. We're playing defense at a high level. We're playing special teams at a high level. Now, I'm not naive. We're going to have to score more points to win games, and we need to do that starting on Thursday.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you all.